Hello? You guys all hear me?
Yep.
All right.
Hello!
All right. Good evening, game developers.
Good evening.
It's my privilege to welcome you to day 3 of GDC. I know this is the last talk for the day, so bear with me, but we can use this to our strategic advantage. So all day you've been in talks learning how to build high-quality UWP games. We heard Chris Sharla this morning talk about Xbox Live Creators Program and how to publish to Xbox. And then we learned about spatial audio. We learned about D3D DirectX 12 debugging and how to integrate that in your game. And last hour, Brian Tyler was here talking about how to integrate this Xbox Live Creators Program into your game and provide high-value games. So now that we've gone through that progression, let's see how we can put a bow on your game and ship it. So my name is Krupa Pubalachandran. I am a program manager on the Windows, on the Universal Store team. I primarily work on DevCenter, which is the store portal to the store, or the dev portal to the store, no matter which of our platforms you choose to ship on. For the last year and a half, 2 years, I worked exclusively on working with game developers and onboarding their games to the store, and on features that helps them to do so. By the end of this talk, you should be able to ship your game to the store, tailor your content attractively to get more gamers to play your game, learn and understand the needs and behaviors of your gamers, and then be able to offer them amazing deals to reward them for their loyalty. So before we jump into the what and the how, let me take a second to walk you through why we think you should develop with the store. We have about 400 million Windows 10 devices in the market. I was on stage less than a year ago at Build last year, and that number was 270 million. So the rate at which we are growing is just astounding. And we have 55 million monthly active Xbox Live users. Xbox Live users tend to be very engaged in the gaming ecosystem. How do we drive these devices and these users to the store? Our marketing team has done an amazing job driving over 6.3 billion impressions. Impressions are when apps show up in Bing searches. They show up in Cortana or any number of our promotional surfaces. These impressions drive about 500 million monthly store visits. And when people visit the store, they aren't leaving empty-handed. We're seeing them buy content more than ever before. And that you can see by our last stat. Our IAP sales are up 153% over the last year. That is the quantitative side of why you should develop at the store. Over the last couple of years, we've been working on bringing all our platforms together. PC, tablet, mobile, console, HoloLens, Surface Hub, they all run the same one core Windows. The next logical step is to combine all the stores together. So for this audience, imagine there's one store for the PC and the Xbox. Like, that has got to be the biggest gaming market there is. As part of this convergence, we're bringing key features that's required to ship games in the marketplace. Things like bundles, pre-orders, DLCs, and then if you're used to developing Windows 32 apps or Win32 apps on PC, you can use the Windows Desktop App Converter to ship them as UWP in the store. This was previously called as the Windows Centennial Program. We also have the ability to run UWP apps and games on all our platforms and enjoy the new purchase instrument methods across all these platforms. As a developer, the converged store means there's one developer portal, one unified set of monetization options, and one consistent store experience for you to target. When it's time to get paid, there's a single payout. And it enables us to deliver features such as Xbox Play Anywhere. Xbox Play Anywhere is our key strategy to drive more content and more traffic through the store. Xbox Play Anywhere has generated so much buzz, our developers and gamers alike are excited about this. What Xbox Play Anywhere does, or XPA, we call it, does is the ability for you to develop a game and allow the user to buy the game on platform of their convenience and then play on platform of their choice for no extra cost. We already have an amazing catalog of 1PP and 3P, or first party and third party games in the catalog. And Chris Charlotte told this morning that there are about 16 new indie games that are coming very shortly to the XPA program. With the XPA program, what we're seeing is that about 15 to 20% of the purchases are coming from the PC side, and about 20 to 25% of the playtime is coming from the PC. So we're seeing our gamers effectively leverage the features we're delivering with XPA. Here are some quotes from the media. Xbox Play Anywhere is seamless. By that I mean, plop on your couch, pick up your controller, play on your 70-inch 4K HDR TV, put it down, walk over to your gaming PC, pick it up where you left off, playing with your mouse and keyboard, leveraging the full power of your desktop graphics card. Seamless. Crossplay becomes even more exciting now because the people you can match with, the people you can play with, is increasingly bigger, right? So you can play with all the people who are playing on PC and all the people who are playing on console. I was just talking to a developer, and he was telling me a story about how this is changing household gaming. You don't need to have two consoles in the house or two PCs in the house to be able to play with somebody in your family. Like a dad who has a PC and a son who has an Xbox console, play. And then that changes the dynamic of household gaming. And for the developer, that means lower touch points. So you write code once, and it plays on any platform. You interact with one dev portal, one monetization option, one revenue option, one marketing option. So what we're trying to do is get the tools and processes out of your way so you can focus on your art assets, your gameplay mechanics, and your concepts. So in summation, we believe that Windows Store is the best place to develop if you want the maximum return on your investment. Now let us get back to the what and the how. Let's develop with the store. After you have your game concept approved and you've tested the concept, we believe this is how the life cycle of the game looks. You pick a monetization strategy. Your monetization strategy dictates how you make money off of your game. And then you integrate with the store services, the marketplace services, and you launch your game. All game developers go an extra step. The least you do to continue engagement with your users is patch the game. Nobody writes perfect code. What we're seeing now is more and more developers take the next step. They want to analyze trends, learn more about the users, engage with those users, understand their needs, and then promote their content to satisfy their users. And repeat this process and fine-tune their strategy during each iteration. Picking a monetization strategy. So you can offer your game as free-to-play and have it completely ad-supported. That's perfectly fine. Or you can monetize it by offering things like durables. Durables are things that are available during the life of the game. You unlock new levels, you unlock new characters. Or consumables, which are in-game currencies, bullets, lives, etc. Or you can go the paid route and say, you sell the game for a price point, your users expect a standalone experience, but you can still monetize this user base by offering DLCs, like offering rich experiences, expansion packs, or by unlocking certain parts of your game that's only available if they purchase something that's recurring charges, subscriptions. Or you bundle up several pieces of your content together and sell it at an attractive price to your user as bundles, and Seasons Pass is where you can provide value over time to your developers or to your gamers. These are not the only only strategies available. You can mix and match whatever suits your business needs. After you're done with your monetization, after you've figured out your monetization strategy, let's learn, see how we can develop in the store. Working with all you game developers, I can conclusively say that when you have a concept for the game and it leaks before you're ready to announce, that is bad news. That's bad PR, loss of revenue. It's just, for a small studio, it's just overall a disaster. So to combat these leaks, we're seeing more and more developers to start develop. They start developing isolation. What they do is they develop on local machines, sideload their apps in the store, sideload their apps on the machine, and to give it to testers and to deliver bits, they have custom solutions, even going as far as putting it on thumb drives and giving it to people. This is not a sustainable solution. And it's pretty insecure, giving bits on thumb drives. On top of it not being secure, we are seeing developers who choose this route, who choose to integrate much later in their life cycle with services, face a lot of issues. Issues big enough to slip street date. So what DevCenter is offering is a way for you to develop securely and start integrating with the marketplace services or any other game services much earlier in your life cycle. You come to DevCenter and you say you want to hide this app from everyone, but you want to provide full functionality, all facets of the game, marketplace services, Xbox Live services, everything, to a set of users who you deem should be able to play the game. I want my game to be only played by a group of my 100 coworkers till I'm ready to announce, until I'm ready to make it bigger. As a small studio, you probably have one or two people interacting with the developer portal. As your business grows, you have more business personas who need to interact with this portal and make business changes. So what we have is roles. We have business contributors, financial contributors, marketers. You can assign these roles to people and let them do their job effectively. As your needs grow, we allow you to custom make these permissions to these users. Like, you can choose which permission each person needs to have. And you can go as far to say which products each person can view. This goes back to developing securely. If somebody shouldn't be seeing Game 2, don't give them permission to see Game 2 even in the developer portal. Integrating with Xbox Live. We have never talked about integrating with Xbox Live to an audience this big. But with the Xbox Live Creators Program, that's exactly what we're saying. Xbox Live Creators Program is simple, open, and it's ready for any game. In addition to allowing you to publish to the Xbox freely, it provides a rich set of features. Instantly elevate your game with leaderboards and cloud saves. And remember, Xbox Live is all about social. So all these community features like game hubs, looking for groups, clubs, allow you to nurture the community that we already built and bring them over to the Xbox Live services. And you can configure these services easily within DevCenter, and you will be able to do that starting very shortly. I recommend you watch Brian Tyler's talk on Channel 9 if you missed it the previous hour. So what we're saying with the Xbox Live Creators Program is that we are bringing our world-class, highly scalable, reliable services. You bring the games, and together we can make the gamers happy. All right, so you've developed in the store, and you're ready to launch. One of the ways you can generate excitement in the store is by offering a coming soon page. This page serves as a way for you to communicate to your gamers any information about your game. High fidelity screenshots, artwork, trailers, game experiences. And you can communicate information such as release dates, pricing, etc. Another way to do this is to have your early enthusiasts, your game reviewers, your industry influencers, try out the game early and start writing reviews about it and generate buzz in the media. An easy way to get them access to these games is promo codes. You can mint promo codes in Dev Center that are single, one-time redeemable or multi-redeemable. The multi-redeemable promo codes get very interesting when you're doing printed material. You're out at Comic-Con, you're out at Arcade Expo. You want to print out these codes on pieces of paper and hand them out so more people are getting excited about your game. Who here knows what age ratings are? Show of hands. Right? Good chunk of you. Age ratings are the little sticker that comes on your game that says E for everyone, D for teen, M for mature. Right? Who has tried to get age ratings from a board, from ESRB? Right? So we know, even though parents trust them to when they're buying their games and they want to make sure that the kids are playing appropriate games, getting ratings from these boards is not the easiest thing to do. Right? There's so many boards across the world. They cost money, they cost time. That's where we come in. Microsoft is part of International Age Ratings Coalition, or IARC. What this means for you is that you come to Dev Center, answer a bunch of questions. These are yes or no questions, no text. Just answer a bunch of yes or no questions. And within 2 minutes, we generate age ratings for you for all the boards that we support. Saves you weeks of time and thousands of dollars. Let's talk about pricing and release and trials in the demo. So, I'm working on a game called Extreme Chess. There's not much extreme about it. It's just regular chess. What we're going to look at is pricing and availability. Availability is when and where your game is going to be available for. This is a key part of your go-to-market strategy. So the easiest thing to do is to say, release as soon as possible, and then set a flat price. I'm going to set $39.99. This is good, right? No, you game developers aren't that easy to please. So what we're going to do, I am going to make this game for release 2 weeks from now. And I'm going to start pre-order today. This is great, but the marketing assets for my Japanese and Korean launches haven't landed yet. All right, I'll make an exception for that. Okay, so because I know it's going to take about 2 weeks for my Japanese and Korean assets to land, I'm going to skip pre-order, and I'm going to go directly to release. And I'm going to make it a little more interesting, and I'm going to release at local time midnight. This is what we call a rolling launch. So the system behind it takes care of converting this for local time midnight on each of these markets. Let's look at pricing. $39.99 all over the world, but market research says that for a few markets, I'm going to randomly pick on Hong Kong and Brazil. And I have information that if I sell it at a lower price, I'll probably get a lot more sales in these markets. Market research is also saying that in about a month, I should probably adjust my price because there are other game launches that are coming at that time. All right. So this is a pretty complicated go-to-market strategy, go-to-market plan. And we did it in a few clicks in a highly auditable way. We don't have to go through every market. We have a base setting, and we have an override setting for the markets of exception. Same for pricing. The other thing I want to talk to you about is trials. Trials are a way for you to get your gamers hooked on your game and then offer them an upsell to buy the whole game. There are two kinds of trials. One is a time trial. This is how long can your user play your game. So I'm going to say my user can play my game for 1 day. This requires you to add no lines of code on your side. The service takes care of everything. The service keeps track of how long a gamer is playing that game. And at the end of the time, it says, your time has expired. Now you have to buy the full game. Or you can do an unlimited trial, which requires you to add some code to check if the user is in the trial mode or in the full mode. If he's in the trial mode, you can restrict what parts of the game he has access to. You can say, a gamer can only play levels 1 through 3. Or characters A, B, and C, and not the rest. And soon we'll be able to provide telemetry and data to show you how many people who played trials actually converted to the full game, so you can have that information.
Let us switch back.
So I want to take a minute and look at this from the other side. Yes, you've shipped the game, but how are your customers, how are your gamers finding these games in the store? Exploring immersive content.
Well, I gotta switch back to the store.
So we're in the store. I'm gonna pick on a couple of games. So let's look at Quantum Break. Awesome game from First Party, released last year. Everything you need to know is on the store listing page. Fully serviceable. But let's take a look at Dead Rising. This released a few weeks ago from Capcom. Whoa. Now the Chrome disappears and your content starts to become the main stage content. Let's look at another title. This is an awesome XBA title from our indie program, Astroneer. When you add video trailers to your listing, the store listing page comes to life. Your gamers are more immersed. They want to learn the story of the game. By making these store listing pages high quality and making it immersive, we're learning that we're able to capture eyeballs for an extra 30 to 40 seconds and let your gamers develop that connection to your game, and that should lead to conversion. We're also announcing search filters. Search filters are a way for your users to find exactly what they're looking for. If they want to find a racing game, for example, that has Xbox Live capabilities and supports multiplayer, they'll be able to find exactly what they're looking for. And we're going to add new search filters as time progresses. So the first row of icons here is how the store looked a few weeks ago. This tells you that those games are Xbox Live enabled, kinda. But the developer has to take extra effort to tell you what the capabilities of the games are. Take a look at the second row. What we're doing now is we are looking at several signals. From how you configure the product in Dev Center, what code you're shipping, what packages you're uploading. We're looking at all these signals, and the store is determining what capabilities that the game supports. This way, the user has a better trust relationship with the store and can buy products without being concerned about what the game actually supports. And obviously, the other two are Xbox Play Anywhere and the age rating. So those are also badges the store provides. Playing games without needing to wait for the game to fully install or download is a feature everyone's familiar on the Xbox side. That feature is now moving over to the UWP platform, and people on PC will also be able to enjoy it very shortly. We want the gamers to be able to comfortable paying with whatever means they want to pay. So in addition to supporting traditional digital payment methods like credit card and debit cards. We support PayPal, and we support redeeming Bitcoins and using that credit, applying towards towards purchases. On top of that, we also have about 100 mobile operators signed up across the world, so your gamers can use mobile operator billing to buy games. And we're adding more operators every month. So what we're trying to do is allowing your gamers to get your content as fast and as easy as possible. So, switching back to the developer stream. Patching your games. DevCenter is now faster than ever. So you're able to get changes, both binary and metadata, to your users at a speed that we've never seen before. What this means for you is that you can adjust your strategies faster. You can get to fixes out to your customers sooner. Package flighting is the ability for you to deliver different sets of bits to different users. So in this example, say your general public is on V1.0, and then you're developing V1.1, but you're not fully confident that if it can scale to that many users. So you start out small. You give it out to your 100 coworkers and see what the reaction is and what the telemetry is saying. Then you increase it. Send it out to your early enthusiasts, see what their feedback is. And once you're comfortable with that, you can send it out to the general public. But instead of just sending it to everyone in the general public, you can gradually roll it out to a percentage of the users. For example, you start at 5%. Look at your telemetry, see how they're doing. Roll it out to a higher number of people, 50 to 60%, see how they're doing. If at any point you find an issue, you stop, fix that issue, and then resume your rolling out. Interacting with your customers. You can engage with your customers easily using targeted notifications. You can send whatever information you want to convey via notifications to your users. This could be, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. Come check our game out. Or it could be even bigger, like we have new updates for you to try out, new levels in your game for tryout. Or you can say, we got a new DLC for sale at a great price. Come check it out. The way to do this from the code perspective is as simple as adding a reference to the Windows Store SDK. And then you add a listener to your code. You get the notification. Requesting feedback. So you can easily integrate with our SDK and request feedback from within the game at points of your interest. So if you have a particular error and you want to see what the user was doing to get to that error, you can use the inbuilt feedback APIs to trigger the inbuilt feedback hub in every Windows 10 device. So a user can send you feedback by using already familiar apps and tools, and that feedback directly flows into DevCenter where you can respond to them. The feedback hub is kind of like a forum, right? So you don't have to create your own forums and own feedback addressing mechanisms. It's just all built in for you. Instead of responding to reviews individually, we have APIs that allows you to analyze your reviews and ratings, and be able to bulk respond to them instead of responding to them one by one. So for example, you can say, anyone who's rated me 2 stars or below, let's send them a bulk response saying, we have a new update that addresses most of these issues. Or you can use these APIs to plug in directly into your CRM portals and have your customer relation managers or your community managers respond to that within a familiar CRM dashboard rather than having to log into our developer portal. Analyzing trends. You want to know a few things about your product. How is your product doing in the market? Who is using your product? And what features are they using? So let's do a quick demo.
Nope, wrong one.
Okay. Cool. So I have a game here. And in the analytics tab, you have all these analytics available for you. All these analytics are given to you without writing a single line of code. This is all collected by the system and driven into the portal. Acquisitions tell you how many people are buying your game, and it gives you a little bit of information about who is buying your game and where they're buying the game. The interesting part here is, because we'll be talking about XBA for a little bit, is you can see where they're buying the game. How many people are buying the game on PC? How many people are buying the game on console? So this gives you an idea, if you're running targeted marketing campaigns, this gives you an idea of like the effectiveness of those campaigns. Let's take a look at usage. So this usage tells you how many active users my game has, and then how many daily launches my game has. Again, because of XBA, the interesting part is, how many people are playing my game on PC? So let's say on February 27th, there was about 900 people. Let's see how many people are playing my game on console. There's about 32. So it's about 30x. So there's something that tells me people aren't enjoying my game as much on console. That's something for me to go dig into and find out why that is. The other thing that the usage tracks is custom events. By integrating into our SDK, you can send custom events that's triggered by different parts of your code. We're just talking about this. I have a colleague who has a 2D scrolling game. Like, level 7 to level 9 is so hard to play. Like, you just end up dying so many times. So I told him, hey, this is not easy to play. Like, and he played in front of me, and he seemed to have completed it pretty easily. So I told him to add some information, to say, see how many people are dying on level 9. So he added this telemetry to get that value, and then he saw, when compared to level 6 and level 9, the number of people who were dying on level 9 was so much higher. So he was able to address that with a fix. So all the data that we've seen so far are built on, all the metrics, all the charts that we're seeing so far are built on OpenAPI. You have as much access to this data as we do. So you can build custom dashboards. You can build custom alerting mechanisms. You can build email notification service. For example, if you have a partner who is looking to see the top 10 crashes. Crashes. Let's look at crashes. While working with partners, one of the hardest things is they don't know how to reproduce certain crashes. And only if they're able to reproduce those crashes, they can debug it and find and fix those issues. With the health analytics, you're able to get crash dumps right there. So the issues that you are not able to reproduce but your customer is able to reproduce, you can pick them up and start debugging those issues. And like I was saying earlier, we have partners who are working on creating tools that says, if a particular crash type hits 10 or above, then drop the crash dump into the email box of my developer so he can go address it, rather than having to come look at it, analyze, figure out which issues to fix. So these answer the questions, how is my product doing in the market, and who's using it? Let's learn a little bit more about the customers. So, gamer score distribution. Typically, what we tend to see is users with lower gamer score are more casual gamers, and users with higher gamer scores are hardcore gamers. So this game has a lot of people in the middle, about 10 to 25K, when compared to the Xbox average of the bigger chunk being towards the 3K range, which tells me most of the people playing this game are real gamers. So when I think about tailoring experiences, I want to tailor more like harder experiences for these users. Social usage. When compared to the Xbox average, the social usage of my game is pretty significant. So I'm going to go give a kudos to my community manager because he's done a pretty good job driving this social usage, social media usage. Then you get to know information such as how many people of my game or who are playing my game are using wired connections versus wireless connections. So wired connections tend to have lower latency. Wireless connections tend to have a higher latency. So when I'm designing experiences for multiplayer, for example, I can build in that variance. If I see a lot more people playing on wireless connections, I can build in that variance and make it a little more forgiving. But if I see 80% of my people on wired connections, I can make it a little more tighter. And then accessory usage. About a third of my gamers are playing are using external hard drives, which means when I'm delivering updates or when I'm delivering rich DLCs and expansion packs, I'm able to give them a lot more like a high fidelity 4K experience or like high fidelity audio, etc.
Switch back.
So these are the analytics we have available today. These are the ones that are coming in the very near future. So the things that I want to call out are the trial conversions. You want to see how many people are converting from trial to full. The Xbox Live analytics. So these are new features that we've had clubs looking for groups in Arena. And then tomorrow we're going to talk more about how to integrate your games with the Beam service. So you want to see how many people are using Beam service and how you can make that experience better for these users. Promoting your games. If you sit back and do nothing, you still get some promotion from Microsoft. We do some manual curation and we do some algorithmic promotion. So we look through the game, we look through the marketplace and find games, see what people are buying, see what people are rating, and then start suggesting these games to the gamers when they come to the store. And we also have people also like selection. So when you go to a game, our algorithm starts to learn about who likes game A that also like game B and C. And we start recommending those games to our gamers. You can run effective ad campaigns. Like we talked about earlier, we drive a lot of impressions. So you can be part of that and drive those users to your games. And then offer targeted demos, targeted sales.
Let's look at that.
So it's time for me to configure some sales pricing. I want to configure something for Easter. I don't know when Easter is, so I'm just going to make up dates for Easter. And I'm going to configure a discount, and I'm going to put it as flat price. So $29.99. This doesn't make sense for the other two markets that I configured where the base price itself was $29.99. So it makes more sense for me to offer a percentage discount of 15% to everyone. I'm going to create another sale for all markets. And I'm going to give these guys a 20% discount. And why am I doing this? Because I want to give 20% discount to a different set of users. I want to give the 20% discount for people who own a different product that I made. So this way, I'm able to do a paid upgrade scenario. It's like, this is what I was talking about when I say rewarding users for loyalty in your market. Like, if somebody owned V1 of my game, when you buy V2, I'm going to give you an extra 5% off. I want to bring in another concept. We have this concept called Customer groups. There are static customer groups, which is just if you know all the email addresses of your people, you put them in a group, and you can use them for targeting flights, or you can use them for targeting offers. But there is a different kind of customer group that's called segments. Segments are dynamic user groups that are created on the fly using some criteria that you provide. So I created this segment. It's called GDC segment. And here I said, if acquisitions, if people are spending less than $1 on my game, give me that group of people. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it attractive for these people, even though they don't own any of my products. If people are spending less than $1, I am going to give them... Let's do that. I am going to give that set of users a different price so that they start spending more money in my ecosystem. So you can offer one flat discount to everyone who doesn't own your game, one discount for people who own different versions of your game, and one flat discount or one different percentage for a set of users that's either static or dynamic. The other thing you can do is free to use. Free to use tells the system to allow usage of a game for free if you own another game. So if I have a V2 of my game in the market, I'm going to incentivize people to buy that game because I will allow them to give, I will allow them to play V1 for free. So this gives them an extra incentive to buy the new version of the game. Some calls to action. Explore developer.microsoft.com. This is our dev center, our developer portal. I was able to touch some of the newer things that we're delivering, that we've delivered over the last year, but there's no way for me to show you all the features that we support. So come register for developer.microsoft.com. Check out all the things that we have. Become an insider. Windows, if you become a Windows insider, you're able to get all the new features that are coming out on the platform site. And we have a developer insider program on Dev Center. And if you sign up for that, you will be able to get all the new developer-centric features that are coming in Dev Center. To develop full-fledged, full-featured Xbox Live games, you need to be a member of ID at Xbox program. We have a huge presence of ID at Xbox program at the lobby bar. And there's a whole bunch of people who will help you answer questions about what it takes to be an ID at Xbox partner. Some of these features that we talked about today will also be rolled out to ID at Xbox members first. Watch Channel 9 videos. So the big thing that we talked about at the GDC is Xbox Live Creators Program. So every talk we've done over the day is going to be recorded and stored for eternity on Channel 9. And we touched on some features at a high level, package flighting, campaigns, targeted notification, roles in segments and offers. So there are videos of all these features on Channel 9 that go into much much more depth. Conclusion, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be here and talk about all the things that my team has worked hard to deliver over the last year. Going to be here for a few questions if you want. And I have some Dev Center tokens. So these let you register for Dev Center for free. I'm going to give it out to the people who ask questions first, and then give the rest out later. Thank you.